Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
Today I want to talk about something we all face, though. It's a human experience as we're walking this out with God, and that's waiting on God. We're all in different seasons. We have young people asking the Lord, and what is my future? Where do I go to college? What do I do? What was I created for? Waiting for these answers. We've got young families, small kids. We have families with adult kids. We have grandparents. We're all in different seasons of life, and all of us are waiting in some fashion. Waiting on God. What is he doing? What is he saying? It's a part of our experience. We're hoping, we're praying, but we're waiting. I think hope itself, I love this kind of definition, is the joyful anticipation of good. The joyful anticipation of good. I'll tell you what, in today's world, you might have to fight for that. Are you anticipating good for yourself, for your life, for your future, for your family? And that gets really, or can get really hard, especially when you're facing tough circumstances, issues, situations, health, whatever it is. It can be hard to muster that up. Waiting on God is one of the greatest tensions that we experience as believers. I know me personally, right now I'm in this. I'm waiting on God for some promises to become manifest. Even some stuff, healing stuff with family members. I'm waiting on God. And that can get tough. I think it's the longer it goes, the more it can reveal what's in our internal world. Are we impatient? Are we fearful? What and who are we placing our faith in? Are we going to grab the reins? How do we wait well in these seasons of life? I will say, to me, waiting is about the process, not necessarily the destination. We all have to go through it. We all have to do it. And there's different types of waiting. I want to clarify because there's different angles and different situations of what waiting could look like. The first is waiting kind of for his presence. We're being still. It's in awe of God. I love Psalm 130, 5 through 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. That's a beautiful picture. Your intimacy with the Lord. You're waiting on him. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Waiting in this is surrendering your anxiety and sitting in his presence. You're waiting for the Lord to move. Relational, beautiful. There's also waiting for direction. We all face this. Lord, should I take this job? Lord, should I move my family here? Lord, should I marry this person? I mean, we're presenting our future before the Lord and asking him for direction. How do we do that well? I mean, that could be, in some ways, its own message on hearing the voice of God. And what are we doing in that process in the meantime of getting the answer? Because waiting, to me, no matter what type of waiting we're doing or what the situation is, it's not inactive. There's action attached to waiting. I love this scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. We're trusting, the doing part, trusting in the Lord with everything that we have for our future, for what he's saying. And we're not taking the reins, leaning on what we know to do. We're not leaning on our own understanding, but we're acknowledging him. We're partnering with him in this process of the question, of the waiting. And guess what? His promise is to make your path straight. There's sometimes we're so indecisive out of fear of getting it wrong. In this scenario, God is saying he makes your path straight. You don't have to worry about that. You're trusting him, inviting him, partnering. Proverbs 16:9 says this, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Planning is an action. It's okay to have a plan. In fact, I recommend it. You're making plans. The Lord is doing his part. He's directing your steps. A plan is action. It's not inaction. It's a picture of waiting. What about waiting for breakthrough? For healing? You've been waiting. You've been crying out for a loved one. Finances. You're in a tough situation. You've got nowhere to turn. You're waiting for breakthrough. You're waiting for God to show up on your behalf in this situation. What about the restoration of relationships? Mothers and fathers to children, spouses to one another, siblings, family. And the waiting is excruciating because you know every day that goes by is a day that you're not experiencing joy in that relationship. These are tough things. These are the waiting things in our life that are so difficult. Typically the hardest areas. So we live in this tension, this waiting tension. Heaven's truths and what we can see. What Scripture says, right? And what Scripture declares versus our current circumstance. We're in this tension. What we've prayed for and yet what we have yet to see happen in our lives. We're waiting. The last kind of waiting that I'll describe is waiting on God's promise or his promises. That gap between promise and fulfillment, what he's spoken to you about your future. That gap between promise and fulfillment is a tough one. It really is. But this process that God has for us, in between when he speaks and when it's fulfilled, is the key. It really is, because he's fashioning something inside of you. You may have been promised, you're a married couple, kids, and you're waiting to see that promise come to happen. You're waiting for a promise of a spouse, and you haven't seen it come to pass yet. We've got to stay diligent and working with the Lord during these waiting seasons. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." He's faithful to his promise. He's faithful. You can count on him. In Isaiah 60:22, "When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen." We can all go home now. Because God says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. What are we worried about? I love Isaiah 60:22. I've got to remind myself of Isaiah 60:22 when I'm getting impatient with the process. But I would say our stance, our posture in this time is critical. Matt spoke last week about renewing your mind. That was, if you didn't catch that, I would suggest you go back and listen to it. Renewing your mind. is one of the keys to doing this life, certainly waiting successfully. Renewing your mind doesn't mean your circumstance changes. It means you're changed in the waiting. The way you see it, you're being renewed in the process. It's hard when we get outcome focused to do that. So as we're praying, again, the longer this waiting season extends, the harder the circumstance, we can see a couple things happen. And it's our part to stay vigilant. The first is the enemy loves to twist your view of who God is. He loves to whisper in your ear, God's not good. He doesn't love you. He's not faithful. You heard wrong. That wasn't your future. That's not what he said to you. That's not your destiny, your calling. You got that wrong. What are you, crazy? He loves to do it. We got to be vigilant. We can't grow weary in that fight. Here's good news. Even when we do grow weary, we've got a Father who never grows weary. He's never without strength. Isaiah 40:31 says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not grow faint." Isn't that an amazing promise in our waiting season? We don't have to muster it. We do have to partner. We do have to wait on the Lord. And guess what? He's got the strength. He can renew ours. We can run. The context of this scripture is when the Israelites were totally worn out from hardship. They were living in exile in Babylon. They were done. They were despairing of life itself, feeling that God did not see them or their struggle, that he had rejected them. I mean, they had come to the end of themselves. And here is that promise. Renew your strength in waiting on what God's going to do. The other thing that can happen is we simply learn to cope. This is my lot in life. We go from a feeling of hoping that we can thrive to just survival. We're just going to endure this. There's no hope attached to it. And we can't let this waiting season, we can't let this happen either. Because God's promises are sure. I will refuse to stop declaring and believing God's word over my life. I refuse. Over my situation, over my future, over my family. I would say the secular world sees this frame of reference, frame of mind, lens, as a crutch. I see it as a superpower. We get to partner with a loving Father in how we see every situation we're in and have hope attached to it. I won't ever attach myself, and if I do, feel free to smack me. I don't want to ever attach myself and be resolute to a situation I'm facing that is counter to what God says in his word. I won't do it. I'm not going to be okay with. I'm not going to cope with what I could be facing versus what God says, versus what Jesus did on the cross on our behalf. By his stripes, you have been healed. Not if. And to my dying breath, honestly, I want to go out on my shield in this manner, having hope and who God is and what he says and what his truth is over my situation, regardless if I get to see it in this land of the living, that's how I'm going out. I'm going to fight, believe, hope, pray over my loved ones, over myself, over the body of Christ. That's my stance. That's where I want to land. So as I've said, waiting on God is not active. It's not doing nothing in this season. Faith by itself is active. When you're engaging faith, that's active. That's not sitting back. Some practical ways that we can wait on the Lord effectively. Like Matt talked about last week, renewing our minds daily. Seeing through a lens of faith, how God sees it. Not by sight, but by trusting. What about being excellent where you are today in whatever situation you find yourself in? It's not the end-all, be-all, but you can be excellent right now, right where you're at. That typically unlocks doors. It glorifies the Lord. You're doing it as unto him. We can be excellent right where we are, trusting him. We can pray expectantly, like I talked about, that posture of expectation and who God is for us. Of course, we can praise, right? We're thankful. Those are praise and thankfulness are huge in this waiting season. I can't emphasize those two enough. And we can use this in-between time to prepare. To be prepared for all that God has for us. Faith is movement. Preparation is movement. Excellence in small things is movement. Kind of a practical example, maybe with some skin on it. So let's say the Lord has called you to missions. You feel like he's spoken that to your heart. He's given you the nation. He's given you the people. And you're waiting on the opportunity. You know, the Lord is so practical. It's always and both. It's praying in the Spirit, partnering with him and what he's saying, and it's action, partnering with him on your side. So time passes. You're beginning to question the call. Did I hear right? Well, one thing that you could be doing, are you studying the language? Where are you putting your faith? Are you starting a prayer group, interceding on behalf of this nation in this in-between season? You could be volunteering for an organization already making impact in the nation God called you to serve. This is the practical side of preparation, of what God wants to fashion inside of you during the waiting. And guess what? When things like that happen, opportunities, the Lord can use it. Next thing you know, like Isaiah 60:22 said, the timing is right and I, the Lord, made it happen. Guess what? You're semi-fluent or fluent in the language. You've been interceding for them. You've been volunteering. Guess what? That volunteer or that organization you've been with all of a sudden says, hey, you know what? We've been praying and thinking about sending people over to this nation that would represent our organization. Would you be interested? Are you kidding me? I've been asking the Lord to go for 5 years. Yes, but the Lord uses that season of preparation for his timing to launch you into further aspects of your call. Same could go for business. Lord's, you feel like impressed upon you that you're going to be a business owner. You've got ideas. What are you doing in the process? How are you developing that? Are you studying? Are you taking courses to shore up your weaknesses? Maybe you study marketing, your competition. These are practical things as you're working with the Lord for the word, for the encouragement, you're using this waiting season as preparation. We could say so for healing. We know God's promise is healing. We can partner with him as well. We know there are things that we can be doing to partner with the Lord in this miracle process that we're asking for. Exercising, nutrition. It's and both. God's word, partnering with him, and being prepared, allowing the season from the inside out to prepare us. So we can look at some examples in scripture. There's lots. Stories, in particular, I would say from the time the promise was given to fulfillment. I don't know if this is an encouragement or these stories are a discouragement, because some of them, you know, it took a while. Joseph is a good example. From the time he had the dream until he was with his brothers, it was 22 years. 22 years till that dream came to pass. He spent 13 years, basically from the time he was sold into slavery until he was brought into Pharaoh's house. What was happening during that 13 years? That was his waiting season. He had a promise from God. And the opposite happened. I know that's happened to us. We feel like there's a promise from God, and it feels like we couldn't be farther from it. Are we allowing this season, this time, to be prepared, submitting to it? I would dare say that Joseph wouldn't be ready to be the number two, to lead, to be in that position had he not gone through his season of preparation. God is preparing things for you right now. Your experiences, the joys, the setbacks, the heartaches, the waiting, the contending. If we submit to this process, he's doing something on the inside of you to prepare you. What about Israel? We know it. There was a promise of the promised land while they were in slavery. Well, that one took 40 years. When the journey should have taken 11 days. Took a little while to work some things out of them. I don't know about you, but I would prefer to submit myself and work with Jesus so that it doesn't take me 40 years of what normally would take 11. Lord, help me submit to that. Of course, Jesus waited 30 years before he was launched into his ministry, all kinds of preparation, what God was doing, lining up the timing. What about David? He was anointed king, of course, by Samuel at the age of 15. I'm sure that was wild for him. He was a shepherd boy and gets anointed as king. Wasn't until 30 that he was crowned. 15 years of waiting, wondering, is this going to happen? What did David do right after Samuel anointed him? He went back tending sheep. No parade in that moment. Of course, we know over the next 15 years of preparation, things were being fashioned in David. His sometimes life of obscurity, running for his life in caves, prepared him for kingship and God's timing. Of course, he served in Saul's court. He learned to fight. He learned to war. He learned to trust. He was a man after God's own heart. Psalms, I mean, my goodness. Crying out. His life being threatened. Saul trying to kill him. So much was fashioned inside David during these 15 years. And then coronated king As a kind of more modern day example, Corrie ten Boom. Corrie was an amazing Dutch lady from the Netherlands, a hero of the faith, if you will. Her and her sister were imprisoned. Her sister Betsy, they hid Jews during World War II. I think they saved over 800 people. And they were arrested and sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. So they prayed for deliverance. You want to talk about being in the very fight itself. They're waiting on God to show up. Betsy, her sister, actually died in that concentration camp. It's interesting. Corrie ten Boom said this, which is incredible. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Wow! There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. When she finally was released, she realized the waiting had prepared her heart for her life's true mission, to preach forgiveness in Christ around the world. I mean, that puts our waiting in perspective, I think. Incredible story of waiting and not allowing the enemy to skew who God is and how much he loves. So waiting on God, I often think of the path of life, and that could mean there's ditches on either side. We want to stay on the path of life. As it relates to waiting, there is ditches on either side. I would say one would be doubt, fear, and you become paralyzed. Your waiting is no longer active. It's no longer engaging truth. I think this is the place where people just feel stuck. I'm stuck. And I've kind of given up hope. We obviously don't want to be on that side. Did I make a wrong decision? Where am I now? The other side, impatience and control. I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to take control of this situation, and I'm going to do what I need to do because, God, you're not showing up for me. You don't want to birth an Ishmael when an Isaac is just around the corner. Don't do it. We know Abraham's story, the father of faith. Him and Sarah decided that they would help God with that promise. Let me help you out because I'm supposed to be, you spoke, God, the father of many nations. And I can't even conceive, we can't conceive a son. We know, and it's still unfolding what that decision ultimately has done. Of being impatient, taking control. You're not going to let this process play out of God showing up and his timing being the right one. We certainly don't want to do that. So speaking of, waiting versus being stuck, waiting on the Lord, active and purposeful, marked by obedience, trusting in God's timing, praying, self-discipline, obedience, growth, maturity, preparation, versus being stuck, passive, stagnant, paralyzed. Fear can lead to doubt. You can become complacent for your call. You can be filled with regret. You can think you've missed it. God doesn't see me. We don't want to do that either. I think there's a number of stories that we can read on people. Modern day, I think sports has a way of kind of providing analogies, being prepared for our opportunity that we can, that makes sense to us. And a lot of times there's a lot of great illustrations. I'll give one. This is speaking to being prepared for our moment, God's timing. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Tom Brady, quarterback, considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I read this story a few months ago. It probably caught my eye. I actually went to college with Tom. This was when he was at the University of Michigan. I was a wrestler there. He was a football player. A couple years younger than me. I knew him. I don't have his phone number in my phone, so don't ask. I can't reach him. But I knew him there. I knew that he was lower on the depth chart. You know, he wasn't starting when I was there. I didn't know that he was facing what he described in this article. So he was only getting 2 reps out of every 50 in practice. And he saw himself and his ability to get to a starting role even harder because everybody was getting the reps. He couldn't even get the reps. So they were improving because they were playing with, you know, the starting team. And he would get 2 reps out of all those. And he was really frustrated. Of course, if you've read about Tom, you know he's a incredible competitor. So he sought some advice. And what he was told was, you need to change your mindset and how you approach this. Every rep you get, make it perfect. You only get one. Bring the energy and the enthusiasm to that one rep as if it was the biggest game, that you're on the biggest stage. Do it perfectly. Be prepared. Be ready. And that's what his mindset was. He shifted from complaining, I'm not getting a chance, to saying, I'm going to be ready. Well, when he did that, 1 rep, 2 reps, he did it perfectly. Then he got 3, and then he got 5. And he approached it the same way. He determined that he was going to be prepared for his moment. And the rest is kind of history. He did go on to start. And we also know that it probably helped him in his NFL career as well. If you know his story, you know that the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots was hurt, Drew Bledsoe. And they stuck him in there. He got his chance. He won a Super Bowl that year. We typically have a tendency to only see the tip of the iceberg when it comes to being prepared. We see the people walk in the success, but you don't see what's under the surface. Everything that they've been contending for, being prepared for that moment. We just see the success and want it. There is a whole lot under the surface. And we've got to allow this time of our waiting to be for a purpose. God wants to partner with you in it. Whatever situation you find yourself in, asking for direction, asking for breakthrough, waiting for an answer, waiting to see your promise fulfilled. Let's submit ourselves to the process of waiting well. I would say that waiting on God is not about delay. You know, he takes no pleasure in seeing you minimized. That's not who he is. He wants to partner with you. But if our internal world is not in the right setting of what the Lord is able to bless. Because sometimes the blessing is what wrecks us. When you ask successful people, what is the hardest thing that you've had to deal with to be where you're at? Most of them say it's dealing with success. It's the money. It's the fame. It's the self-reliance. You're no longer asking the Lord for partnership. You got this surrounded. You've got the finances, you've got the expertise, you've got what it takes in your own mind. Lord wants to entrust you. He really does. I want to see us use this waiting season the right way. Remember Isaiah 60:22. When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. How about this? Let's stand up and pray together. If you're in a season of waiting and you feel like you don't have the strength to continue to fighting for the relationship, fighting for your destiny, fighting for the promise of healing, raise your hand. Brothers and sisters, around these raised hands, feel free to go put your hand on them. There's a desperation here, and God wants you to know that He's with you. He's for you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He hasn't left. Restoration is on the way. So, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for the seasons of waiting. Lord, help us not despise them. We double down on our trust in you and who you are and what your word says over our circumstance, over the situation, over the relationship. You are working even when we can't see it. God, you're working right now on behalf of these loved ones. Lord, teach us, show us to wait with purpose. God, to prepare in faith in this moment. We worship you today. We thank you for who you are, for your goodness towards us. Lord, we trust your timing. Lord, we love you. Bless these brothers and sisters that are waiting, desperate for an answer. Be near to them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.